Now let's turn in our Bibles, please, for our reading this morning. This is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we are reading verses 27 to 36. Now, there is in front of you a black Bible, a pew Bible, and do please turn to the reading. It's on page 899, page 899, John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verse 27 through to verse 36. And this is what God's word says. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." We have been working our way through John's Gospel, and we have arrived at this passage that we are looking at this morning, verses 27 to 36 of chapter 12. The Bible is a big book. It is a book, as you can see, of many, many words, many chapters, many verses, and so on. But essentially, this big book has one message. And the message that this book has for us is that God in grace has planned the salvation of a sinful and a rebellious human race. That's what this book is essentially about. It declares to us the character of God. And it tells us that God is gracious and kind, compassionate and merciful, and God is holy and God is just. And it declares to us the plan of God in saving sinful man, how God's justice is satisfied and how God's love is displayed. And all of this, of course, meets at Calvary. It is the cross of Jesus Christ where we find the meaning of this book. It is the cross of Calvary that declares to us the central message of the Bible, God in grace having a plan to save sinful, rebellious mankind. Now, when we read the Bible, we find teaching on the cross all over the Bible. You find teaching about the cross in the Old Testament, Moses' law, when he talks about the animal sacrifices, that speaks about the death of Christ. And when you come to the book of Psalms, David, for example, in Psalm 22, speaks about the cross of Christ. When you come to the prophets, Isaiah chapter 53, for example, that speaks about the cross of Christ. When you come into the New Testament, you find the letters of Paul and Peter and John and James. They all speak about the cross of Christ. But this passage is a very interesting passage, because in this passage, Jesus himself speaks about the cross. This isn't David or Isaiah or Moses or Peter or John. This is Jesus himself speaking about his cross, and Jesus himself explains to us why he is going to die. Now we believe that the whole of the Bible is inspired, and we believe that the whole of the Bible is equally inspired. So I'm not saying that this passage is more important than Psalm 22 or Isaiah 53 or anything like that. But I'm saying it is an interesting feature of this passage that here we have Christ himself speaking about the cross and Christ himself explaining why he came and why he died. So our theme this morning is a very simple one. Why did Christ die? We're about to come to the table. We're about to partake of the bread and the cup. And in doing so, we're going to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, why did he die? Well, I want to go through this passage with you this morning. And I want to show you four reasons why Jesus died. Four reasons found in this passage. And the first is this. Christ died because this was the very purpose for which he came. This was the very purpose for which he came. Look at the opening verses of our passage. Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled." Well, of course it's troubled. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to suffer the most cruel death, the most painful death man has ever invented. But more than that, he's going to suffer the anguish of separation from the Father. He's going to suffer the sins of his people being laid on him, and the punishment that we should have borne is being laid upon him. So he says, "My soul is troubled. What then shall I say? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? Is that what I'm going to say?" And he says, "No, I can't say that. I can't possibly say, Father, don't take me to the cross. Father, save me from this hour." He says, "I can't say that." He says, "For this purpose I have come to this hour. The very reason I have come is to die on the cross." And he was absolutely right when Mike asked the question, why did Jesus come? To die. That's what he himself says here. So the very purpose for Christ coming to this world was to die. Because man, as I've explained, is in sin and is in rebellion against God. Whoever we are this morning, whoever you are, what sort of life you've lived and what sort of religious background you have, it doesn't matter. The Bible's verdict is this: we are all sinners before God. We are all rebellious before God. We are all facing condemnation in the law of God because we have disobeyed the law of God. We are separated from God. We are in sin and we are facing an eternity in darkness. That is the Bible's verdict on the whole of the human race. But God is gracious and God is kind and God is merciful and God is compassionate. And he sent his Son to save us from our sins. He sent his Son that our penalty might be laid upon him, that he might clear our guilt, pay the penalty that the law demands from us, that he should shed his blood, that we should be saved from our sin. Christ came with this express purpose, that he should die on the cross for his people. So the first reason why Christ died, well, it's the very purpose for which he came. But then there's a second reason in this passage. And the second reason is this: he died to glorify his Father. Look at the way that the passage unfolds. We have in verse 27 Christ's purpose in coming, the first one, "For this very purpose I have come." But then he says in verse 28, he prays this prayer, "Father, glorify your name." And a voice comes from heaven. And if you read the Bible, if you read the Gospels, you know that at various points, particularly at strategic points in the ministry of Christ, there's a voice that comes from heaven. When Christ was baptized, there was a voice from heaven. When Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a voice from heaven. And here, when Christ is about to go to the cross, there's a voice from heaven. And this is the Father affirming his Son. This is the Father commending his Son to a lost world. So this voice comes from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Now all this is speaking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is saying here, as it does in other places, that the cross of Christ declares, displays the glory of God. Now what does all that mean? These terms appear so nebulous and so undefined, don't they? We talk about the glory of God. And it sounds wonderful. But then if you say, now let's try and pin it down, let's try and have some concrete definitions here. What is this glory of God? What does it mean that when Jesus Christ hung upon that cross, the Father in heaven was being glorified? What does this mean? Well, when we say the glory of God, we mean the character of God. When we say that God is being glorified, we mean that the full character of God is being displayed. We use the English word, the English phrase sometimes, don't we? You say, I saw that person in his full glory. I know that's sometimes a rude saying, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, that we saw the person as he is in his full glory. Well, Christ on the cross displays the character of God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Father was revealing to a lost world who he is. And on that cross, the Father was saying to a lost world that he is holy and just. He was saying to a lost world that he hates sin and he punishes sin and he will not leave sin unpunished. That's what he was saying on the cross. He was saying that sin is a serious departure from his law, that it deserves judgment, and he judges sin, and he will not let sin go unjudged or uncondemned. That is the purpose of the cross, to reveal the holiness and the justice of God. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, he had to die because God is holy, and God must punish sin. And if God does not punish sin, sin remains undealt with, and we still are in our sin. God must deal with our sin. But the cross at the same time is also a declaration of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. We will never have a greater display of the love of God than at the cross of Calvary. We will never understand the grace of God at a greater depth than at the cross. Grace means God is kind and merciful to those who are his enemies, who are in rebellion and in sin. God, instead of judging and punishing them, pours out blessing upon them, whereas they deserve judgment and condemnation. He gives them salvation and blessing. That is grace. And the grace of God is displayed at the cross. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died because God is gracious. Jesus died because God is love. Jesus died because God is merciful and compassion. Jesus died and took our sins upon himself so that we might know forgiveness and cleansing and redemption and reconciliation with the Father. Jesus died to display the character of God. I wonder if you ever ask yourself the question, what is God like? I expect you believe in a creator God and you have some vague idea of God. I wonder if you ever ask yourself that question. What is God like? Well, do you know, later in this gospel we will be looking at a passage where Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because Christ is God and his works display the character of God. You look at the works of Christ in the Gospels, his kindness to the worst of sinners, those who are ill and those who have died and those who have all kinds of problems and difficulties. And Christ comes with his heart filled with grace and mercy, and Christ embraces them and loves them and delivers them from their difficulties. The love and the mercy and the grace of God, all of that displayed in the works of Christ and supremely displayed at the cross. I wonder if these things are new to you. I wonder if you've ever experienced the love of God and the grace of God in salvation. Has your heart ever been thrilled by this thought, my Savior died on the cross for me? I wonder if your heart has ever been thrilled with this idea, my sins were laid upon Him. And He paid the penalty for my sins and cleared my debt and has dealt with my rebellion. And I am now forgiven and I'm now redeemed and I'm now a child of God. I wonder if that's true of you. Can I say this to you? These things are really strange concepts to you. Why not come and see Christ today? Why not meet Him? Why not ask Him to save you? Why not, even as you sit in your seat this morning, send up a prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'd love to know your love. I would love to know your grace. I would love to know salvation. Will you save me, even me? Because He receives all who come to Him. And He saves all who turn to Him in repentance and faith. So why did Jesus die? Well, He died because this was the very purpose for which He came. He died to declare the glory of God, to display the full character of God. And then a third reason in this passage. He died to defeat Satan. Look at the way that the passage unfolds. I'm just walking my way through this passage, picking up the points as they arise. And we've seen in verses 28 and 29, the glory of God. And then in verse 30, Jesus says, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. He's speaking there about Satan. He's speaking there about one of the reasons why He died on the cross. Do you know, friends, the cross is the most wonderful place on earth. Because as you read the Bible, and as it speaks about the cross, you realize that there are so many different reasons why Jesus went to that cross. And you learn that Jesus went to that cross so that we might be forgiven and our sins might be dealt with. And then you learn that Jesus died on that cross so that we might be redeemed from slavery to sin and darkness and be brought into His kingdom and reconciled to the Father. And you learn that Jesus died on that cross so that the anger of God might be dealt with, turned aside, propitiated. But you also learn that Jesus died on the cross to defeat Satan. And on that cross He did defeat Satan. There are teachings in the Bible, in the book of Colossians, in the book of Hebrews, of how Satan suffered a huge defeat at the cross. What does that mean? Well, it means that Satan's power to condemn us is removed from him by Christ. You see, if Christ hadn't died for us, well, we were under the condemnation of the law. We couldn't save ourselves. You do know this, don't you? You cannot save yourself from your sin. You cannot pay the penalty for your own sin. Your good works, your righteous works, your religion, your decent life, your moral life, none of this will count for anything. You cannot deal with your own sin. Your sin must be dealt with by a perfect substitute, Jesus Christ. Now, if He hadn't died on the cross, you see, Satan would have power over us. We would have been in the kingdom of Satan. We would have been under the condemnation of sin. And we would have gone to hell where Satan will go. And we would have spent eternity with Satan. He would have had utter and total control over us because of our sin. But when Jesus died on that cross and He took our sins upon Himself and He paid the penalty for our sins and He satisfied the law of God, He removed from Satan any power that Satan has over sinners who have turned to Christ. Satan no longer can condemn you. I know there are times when Satan will try and bring to your memory all kinds of failures of the past, and he will try and condemn you and rob you of your joy. And he says to you, do you remember the time you did this? Do you remember the time you did that? And we allow him to bring these memories and we beat ourselves up. We shouldn't. Do you remember the first hymn we sang this morning and the last verse? No condemnation now I dread. That's straight from the Bible, isn't it? There is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. The Father doesn't condemn you. If this morning you're a believer in Christ, you love the Lord Jesus, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and you're forgiven through His death on the cross, you will never, never face condemnation. The day that you die and you stand before God in heaven, He will never say to you, you know, there are certain sins of yours that are still there and I've got to deal with them because these sins are very serious. That will never happen. All our sins have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus. All our sins have been washed away. Christ has dealt with every one of our sins, and therefore those who believe in Christ, Satan has no power to condemn us, to hold us, or to take us into hell. Christ has saved us. And so Christ came to defeat Satan. And then fourthly and finally, Christ died to save sinners from all over the world. Look at what he says in verse 32. This is a wonderful verse. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he's obviously speaking about his death, because John says that in the next verse. He says he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. And the crowd understood this, because they say, well, how can you say you're going to be lifted up if you are the Christ? But Jesus there speaking about his death in verse 33. "I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Do you know, friends, there is no discrimination in God. God saves sinners from all over the world. There are those in our world today, indeed in our country today, who were born in Islam and lived Islamic lives until Christ's power and Christ's grace broke into their heart. There are those who were raised Hindus and lived lives of idolatry until God's grace and God's power broke into their lives. There were those who were born in terrible sin, and those who lived lives of utter sinfulness. Those who were drug addicts and drink addicts and all manner of sinful lives. And today they're rejoicing in salvation in Christ. There are those who were born in the most terrible situations and the most terrible circumstances and lived the most awful lives. Today rejoicing in the salvation of Christ. You cast your mind over the world and you think of places all over the world. People in Africa who once worshipped the spirits of their ancestors and sacrificed animals to try and appease the spirits of their ancestors. Today, Sunday, they will be rejoicing in Jesus Christ their Savior. People in India who once bowed down to stone idols and wood idols, today in churches will be giving glory to the Son of God. People in China who once were Buddhists and were trapped in this philosophy, today are worshipping and giving glory to Christ. People in South America who were trapped in a religion where they worshipped Mary and the saints and the Mass, today are giving thanks to God the Father through the Son Jesus Christ, because they've been saved by His blood. All over the world, God's people come to Him and give thanks to Him, because there is no discrimination in God. All who come to Christ, He saves. All who turn to Him, He saves. If you're not a believer this morning, you have no excuse to stay away from Him. You can't say, my sin is too bad. There is no such thing. You can't say, I've been a sinner, a rebellious person, too long. No, you haven't been too long. While you are still alive and you're able to call upon Christ, you have hope and you have every reason to ask Jesus to save you. Christ receives all who come to Him. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You believed in Christ. Have you trusted in Him? Do you know the forgiveness of sin and deliverance from the powers of Satan? Do you know the joy of salvation? It is all in Christ, freely, graciously given to all who will come to Him. Praise God for the cross.